All right, I gotta go. So we're gonna keep on going. We're talking about Connections Part 3. If you want a title for your message, the title for this message is Bandwidth. Bandwidth. Now, one of the most terrifying, horrendous images that you can ever see in our society today is this one right here. No Wi-Fi. No Wi-Fi. Man, I have seen kids in airports freaking out because there's no Wi-Fi. I mean, I have seen kids when the Wi-Fi gets turned off because their parents just randomly go by and unplug the router periodically to test their character, freak out. It is a terrifying thing, isn't it? Parents, when you're trying to babysit your kid with the one-eyed babysitter called the iPad, and the signal goes out, it can be a terrifying thing. I have seen parents lose it in restaurants because they had no babysitter for their child. It is a terrifying thing to have no connection. What is bandwidth? If you want to know what bandwidth is, I pulled up this definition. I'm sure you can find it on the interwebs. The bandwidth is defined like this: the transmission capacity of a computer network or other telecommunication system. It is the transmission capacity. You got to know that. Or it might be the energy or mental capacity required to deal with a given situation. Do you have the bandwidth to deal with the situation? There might be something going on at work that you don't have the bandwidth to handle that situation. People that have low social skills might not have the bandwidth to be able to handle a social setting. Not a social, but a social setting. And so it's important to have the right bandwidth. You need the required transmission capacity to be able to have connection. Not only that, but you need to have the required mental capacity that is required for the given situation. Why are we talking about bandwidth? Because bandwidth is like this. If you don't understand these definitions, bandwidth is kind of like this. It's like different kinds of roads. For those of you that are following it along in the notes, you'll find that. Bandwidth is like different kinds of roads. You might find that one kind of a road is like a freeway. And a freeway might be 5 or 6 lanes wide on one side of the freeway. And you can have 5 or 6 cars driving right next to each other. Not that you should do that. But driving right next to each other, and you can see that they just move along. You can move 6 cars past a given point all at once. However, if you've got a 1-lane road, in order to get 6 cars past that same point, it's going to take longer because they are going single file. And so to have greater bandwidth means that you can move things, move information, move connection, move relationship over a quicker period of time because you have a broader connection. Does that make sense? So bandwidth is important for our connection. The deeper and the wider the connections we have, the more quickly things can be shared. Things like information, things like emotions, things like care, things like ideas. All those things can be shared more quickly when our depth and when our width of connection is greater. Now, let me ask you a quick question. This can be rhetorical, which means you don't answer, or it could be something that you choose to answer, maybe by a show of hands. But how many of you would want to know if there was something in your life that was hurting you or hurting other people, but you didn't even know it was there? How many of you would want to know that? Yeah. I mean, that's like almost 90% of us. The rest of you don't care. That's all right. I won't tell you then. But most of us want to know if there's something hurting us or hurting somebody that we care about. We want to know about that, right? But check it out. How many of you might just get a little bit offended if a total stranger comes up to you and began to tell you that you need to change? Just a little bit offended. Like, dude, who are you? I don't even know you. Why are you talking to me about that? Why are you talking to me about all these different things? Like, imagine if a total stranger came up to you and started telling you how bad you are at being a parent. Oh, you might get a little bit offended. You know, what if they start coming up to you and telling you everything that's wrong with your marriage? Not because they know you, they just want to let you know. A little bit offended, maybe. What about if they start to tell you that they don't like your style? I mean, I've had people that I know real well come up to me every time I cut my hair, because I change my hair a lot. And I've had people come up to me, and every time I cut my hair, they say I liked it better the other way. Well, thank you. I will go home and try to glue the pieces back onto my hair. Thank you so much for letting me know. No, I don't do that. I'm like, oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Have a wonderful day. What if people started picking on your food choices? I mean, if it was a total stranger coming up to you, how many of you would be maybe a little bit tempted, at least, to be offended? You might not grab the chapstick, but you might be tempted to be offended. See, the problem is that something is missing. Let me ask you this question. Do you have enough bandwidth of relationship that you can tell others around you what must be said? Do you have enough bandwidth of relationship to tell others around you what must be said? Not what irritates you, what must be said. Do you have enough bandwidth of relationship? Here's the other side of it. Do you have enough bandwidth of relationship to receive what you need to hear from others around you? Do you have enough bandwidth to hear it? Or do you just immediately want to get offended? Let me ask you the big $50 million question for today. Do you have enough bandwidth with Jesus for him to tell you what you need to hear? Do you have enough depth of relationship when Jesus comes to say, man, you know, this thing in your life, got to change it. You know that Jesus said, blessed are they that are not offended in me. People got offended with Jesus. They didn't have enough bandwidth of relationship with the Son of God for him to tell them the truth. I would hope that I would have enough bandwidth with my wife and with my kids and with other important close people in my life that they would be able to tell me what I need to hear and that I could receive it without offense. You know, there's some people that walk around talking about knowing Jesus real well. You know, they're Jesus this and Jesus that and everything. That's wonderful. But you know what? Some people talk a lot about Jesus, but they don't actually know him. Just because you know everything about him, like you Wikipedia Jesus or something, and you found out all the stats on Jesus, just because you know everything there is to know about him doesn't mean that you know him. Can you say amen to that? You know, if we say that we know someone really well, but we don't know much about them, like we don't know their likes, we don't know their dislikes, we don't know their favorite color, we don't know their favorite food. Now, husbands and wives, you're thinking, oh my gosh, do I know my wife's favorite food? If you're wondering that, probably not. You might want to ask that one. You see, you got to know the things that they hate. You got to know the things that they would never do. You got to know the things that they would say or the things that they would never say. You know, I hear people say, oh, Jesus wouldn't do this or Jesus wouldn't do that. But it's like, have you read your Bible? Jesus wouldn't be mean to anybody. Did you read the part where he made a whip, like took time and invested in creating a weapon and then beat people to get out the temple? Did you hear about that? Because he did it. You don't know the same Jesus that I know because you don't know him the way I know him. I know people that say Jesus will make you sick to teach you a lesson, but they haven't learned a single lesson yet. They don't even know what the lesson is they're supposed to learn. But they say Jesus will make you sick to teach you a lesson, but Jesus said, I'm the God that heals you. Yeah. You know, we gotta know Jesus, don't we? We got to have bandwidth with Jesus so that we know him and he knows us and there's an exchange where he can speak into our life and others can speak into our life with Jesus and his particular words. I want to talk to you very briefly because that's all the time that I have is brief. It's about creating connections and increasing bandwidth. How do you do that? If you don't have the bandwidth to deal with that stuff, if you can't receive, if you can't tell, if you don't know Jesus, how do you increase bandwidth? How do you deepen and widen your connections? Let me give you a few things. Let's turn to some scripture because I haven't turned to any scripture yet. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, in the first part of this verse says it this way: a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Be friendly. I mean, I know that this is like really deep, but if you want people to be nice to you, be nice. If you want to have friends, try turn your frown upside down. Put a smile on your face. Smiles are better than frowns. And if you want people to be friendly first. Don't wait for other people to be friendly. You be friendly. Go and be, if you want to use the term, aggressively friendly. Reach out to other people. If you want friends, be a friend. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 12, verses 21, and then I'm going to go over to 25. You can read the whole passage, but these are the key scriptures I wanted to pull out. It says this: and the eye cannot say to the hand. I want you to underline that, highlight it, whatever in your Bible. It cannot say. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, we can't say that and be true. We can say that and think we're right, but it's not true. There are lots of things out there that are facts that are not true. I don't have time to go into that statement, but you can look it up. There are many things out there that are facts, but they're not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, just a few verses later, four streets over, if you want. It says this: that there should be no schism in the body. Do you know that God doesn't want any schism, division, break, or whatever in the body? You know, last week, we had only those speakers right there working. These ones were not working. Last week, we had some lights that just decided to not function, and so I opened up the back of the light, because I still do these things. I opened up the back of the light and nothing was wrong. But then I opened up the back of the extension cord and found out that not one wire, but all three of the three wires, 100% of the wires, were disconnected from the back of the extension thing. Do you know that there is no transmission where there's schism? Where it's broken, because we had a broken wire over there somewhere in the mess of wires. Where there is schism, there is broken connection, and there is zero bandwidth. Yeah. You know what that looks like? That looks like me getting mad and not talking to my wife. That's what that looks like. Of course, I'd never do that. I'm using a fictitious example. You see, when there's schism, there's no connection, there's no bandwidth, there is zero bandwidth when there's schism. That's why God doesn't allow us to say, I don't have need of you. I don't need you. Yes, you do. Would you turn to somebody around you and tell them, I need to be connected? It's true. You need to be connected. John chapter 13, verse 35 in the New King James Version of the Bible says this: by this all will know that you are my disciples. Now listen, I'm going to stop right there because I know that it's already up there and it's spoiling it. But listen, many people think that it's miracles, signs, wonders, theology, doctrine, all of that stuff that proves whether or not you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Wrong. Jesus said, by this one thing, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That word love is the word agape, which many of you know. It is the Greek word that talks about unselfish, unbridled love that does not need a reason to love. It is the God kind of love. It's the same kind of love that you find in John chapter 3, verse 16, upon which much of the Christian faith is based, that God so agaped the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe will not perish but have everlasting life. It was the love that we could not repay anything to God. We have nothing valuable to God. We cannot increase him, you know what I mean? By our relationship, by our fellowship, it does not make God any better than he can possibly be. He is good. In every point, he is perfect. He is perfectly wonderful, perfectly holy, perfectly awesome, perfectly powerful. He is everything. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's all of that stuff all at once. And we don't add anything to God. He's not like honored that we would be, you know, a part of his thing. He don't need us. That's the kind of love that this is talking about. That we would love one another, not because of what someone else can add to us, but simply by the mere fact that they are a child, a purchased possession of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and a price that is beyond measure has been paid for them. The value of an object is judged by what is paid for it. If you pay for a trash can with $1 million, that is $1 million trash can. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care whether or not it's stinky, ugly, nasty, busted up, dented in, rusted the bottom out of it. If you paid $1 million for it, it is $1 million trash can. God emptied all of the value of heaven, all of the treasure of heaven in Jesus to buy you and to buy me. That's how valuable you are. And that's why when we are Christ's disciples, we will love and value other people, not for what they can add to you, not for their connections, not for their business potential, not for anything other than the fact that they are chosen, bought, and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, love can only be seen through interpersonal connection. Love can't stay out there in the realm of theory. It has to be seen. And this is the way that it's seen. Now, guys back there, I know that I don't usually do this, but I have it separated verse by verse. So we're just going to have to switch slides. In verse 4, I'm reading out of the Amplified version of the Bible just because I like the way that it says it. So in the Amplified version of the Bible, if it's a little too loud, don't worry. It'll come to an end when the amplification stops. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4 through 8 in the Amplified, it says this: love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious. Isn't that a good word? Vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Listen, all of those things are actions of love. Yeah. Verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, that's God's love in us, that agape love, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, and it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Isn't that awesome? Its hopes are fadeless under any and all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I want to stop right there. You see, love is demonstrated in action. Love is not just a thing. Love is not just an idea. Love is an action. And not only that, but love is a person. Love is a noun. Love is Jesus Christ himself. He is the embodiment. The Bible says that God is love. See, when love is a person that can never fail. See, love never fails, right? That means that God never fails. So when God is the one that's the embodiment of love, we don't have to worry about love failing on us. We talked a little bit about that last week. Let me tell you this, and I'm almost done. I'm about to land this plane. Love takes the needed time to develop deep and lasting relationship connections. Let's say it this way. Love is persistent. It doesn't give up. It doesn't quit. It doesn't fade. It doesn't fade out or peter out as you go down the road. Love takes the needed time to develop deep and lasting relationship connections. It is persistent. John chapter 14 and verse 15, this is going to seem like it's coming a little bit out of left field. But this is what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why do we need to know that? Because Jesus gave some commandments. And if we love him, we'll follow those things. I want to just give you one commandment that's going to help you to deepen your connections and increase your bandwidth. You ready? Yes. This is a commandment. If you love Jesus, you'll do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. In the English Standard Version of the Bible, it says this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Don't forsake the meeting and the gathering. Look at somebody and tell them, I need to be connected. You know, when you look up the original language, that phrase meeting together, not neglecting to meet together, that phrase meet together, listen, it means this. It means complete collection. Complete collection. A completionist is someone who must finish every single thing. Do you know that Jesus is a completionist? The Bible says that he fulfilled every jot and every tittle. You know what that is? Every I dotted and every T crossed. That's what that means. He fulfilled every single one, every dot, every jot, and every tittle of the Word of God. The Bible says that Jesus said of himself, in the fullness of the measure of the book, it is written of me. Do you know that the Bible says that God will continue the good work he began in you until the day of completion? I'm telling you, Jesus is a completionist. And when someone is a collector, how many of you like to watch stuff like American Pickers? I like American Pickers, looking for rusty gold. See, there's some people that have a collection, and they have to have every one of the things in the collection. They are collector completionists. When Jesus says, don't forget or don't forsake meeting together, he's looking for the complete collection. That means not one missing, not one broken, not one left out. That means that Jesus wants you to be connected. Why? Because we can't say, I don't have need of you. No, you need to be there. Am I putting screws to you? You betcha. I'm telling you that you need to be a part of a Connects group. Why? Because otherwise you have zero bandwidth because there's schism. You're missing out on the connection. You're missing out on the ability to handle situations. You're missing out on avoiding isolationism and being connected. Your freeway is very small, my friend. It's important that we have connection. Don't neglect meeting together. I want to tell you that you need to find, we're going to go into our time of sign up Sunday. Pastor Jolie is going to give some instructions on how to sign up for a Connect group. Whether it's in your area or not in your area, I don't care. You need to be a part of a Connect group. Yeah. Find one. Amen. Go to it faithfully. You need to be connected. Amen?
Amen?
Just one thing. I want to give you one thing. Just do this one thing and your life will improve. Because it's God's principle. It's God's way of doing things. Just one thing. Increase your bandwidth. Increase your connection. Sign up and commit to connection today. See, it's not just committing to a Connects group. It's not committing to an organization. It's committing to connectedness. It's committing to bandwidth. It's committedness to not being isolated. It's committing to do the commandments of Jesus Christ and loving him by doing that by loving his word and doing it by not forsaking meeting together. Is that the truth? Is that what the Bible says? Come on. We can do this thing. Amen?
Amen.
How many people, what percentage of this church do we want to have and do we believe that God wants to have in Connects groups? I will give you a very easy number, 100%. So if you don't think it means you, it means you. If you're here, God wants you to be connected in a Connects group. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me pray over you, and then Pastor Jolie is going to come and give us some directions, and we're going to do this sign-up thing very quickly and orderly-like. Lord God, we just pray right now that you would move on the hearts, the minds, the lives, the spirits of everyone in this house, those that are both here and those that might be on vacation or whatever somewhere else, as they tune in, even those that might be around the world watching this this ministry. God, I ask that you would put it in their heart to be connected to Jesus, to be connected to his body, and to be connected to the people that are in the body. I thank you, God, that we have need to be connected. So, Lord, I pray that you would just do this today, that you put it in our hearts that we must be connected. Lord, I thank you that you help to give people strategy with their schedules, that you help them to know what to do, how to do it. God, over our facilitators, we pray the grace, the mercy, and the freedom of the Spirit of God upon them as they step out in faith into the waters of servant ministry. Lord, we thank you that you do it, and we bless this house in Jesus' name. And everybody said,